on the First Order. He's stalling him so we can escape. Finn's jaw dropped. Escape? He's one man against an army. We have to go help him. Leia walked out of the bunker, C-3PO clanking behind her. She glanced at Poe, saying nothing. Her look told him not to stop.
No,
Poe said.
Luke's doing this so we can survive. There has to be another way out of this mine. Heck, how'd he get in?
C-3PO lent his expertise.
Sir, it is possible that a natural unmapped opening exists. But this facility is such a maze of endless tunnels that the odds of finding an exit are...
Poe shushed the droid.
Shut up.
15,428.
Shut up!
2-1.
3PO finished. Poe stared into one of the mine's tunnels. He saw nothing in the darkness and, moreover, heard nothing. Finn voiced what Poe was thinking.
Where'd the crystal critters go?
There was something. A pair of red eyes blinking back at them. Then the fox scampered deeper into the tunnel, its spines tinkling.
Follow me,
Poe said. Everyone turned to General Organa as if waiting for an order.
What are you looking at me for?
Follow him,
she said. She stepped behind Poe, the first to abide by his instructions. Chapter 25. Rey swatted a porg away from the mapping scopes while Chewbacca glided the Millennium Falcon over a crystal glacier. More porgs fluttered around the cockpit, but she ignored them. A dot blinked steadily on the topographic readout, indicating they were near the beacon linked to the one she wore on her wrist. Yet Crait's surface was devoid of anything except salt and mineral deposits. The beacon's right beneath this. They've got to be somewhere, Rey told a discouraged R2-D2. The droid was jacked into the Falcon's sensor systems and hadn't detected any biological signatures other than the porg that had tried to build a nest atop his dome.
Keep scanning for life forms.
Rey wished she could reach out herself, but the fight had left her body bruised, her mind foggy, and her connection to the Force felt distant, out of tune, as if she had been stretched to her limits. One thing was clear to her. She was not going to give up on her friends in the Resistance, wherever they were. They needed her help, that much she could sense. The Falcon turned for another pass over the glacier. Rey followed a long gash in the surface to a mountain ridge, scanning, searching, hoping. A porg, perched on the dashboard, looked out with her. R2-D2 wobbled and beeped, scaring some of the porgs. The one on the dashboard squawked so loud Rey's eardrums hurt. But then she spotted the reason for R2-D2's excitement.
Chewie, there!
She pointed to the top of the ridge, where fox-like creatures were dashing out of the mountain in droves. The spines that covered their bodies glinted in the setting sun like icicles. Despite no sign of her friends, Rey was convinced they were there. Chewbacca landed the Falcon, and Rey ran out. She wasn't looking where she was going and fell, sliding down a slope. The last of the spiny creatures jumped past her to join its pack on the ridge above. The hole the foxes had emerged from was small, no bigger than the length of Rey's hand. It wasn't a crack in the mountain rock itself, but rather a space between boulders that had been fused together. A mountain she wouldn't be able to move, but boulders, those she had experience with. She closed her eyes, exhaled, inhaled, exhaled again. The Force tingled, almost imperceptibly, but she didn't worry. She knew it was there, as it always was, and she trusted that she was part of it. Jedi wisdom held that it was the masters who learned and the students who taught. As he faced his old pupil, Luke understood just how true that was. Anger swirled around his nephew like a cyclone. It was an anger spurred by distrust and disappointment, expectation and entitlement. Ben Solo had been a child born of privilege, son of a revered princess and a notorious scoundrel, and gifted with a remarkable aptitude in the Force. Nonetheless, given all those things, he wanted something of his own. A name. And he achieved it by rejecting his parents and uncle, by embracing his anger and doing harm to himself and all those around him. In Kylo Ren, Luke saw the shadow of his own father as a young man, and what he himself could have become if he had not been allowed to grow up as a farm boy on Tatooine. The young man shifted his weight from one foot to another, his eyes sunken and dark. His gaze was fierce, daring Luke to make the first move. Luke did not let himself be lured. Patience was another lesson he'd learned from his students. His nephew charged. Luke slipped out of the way and turned. Both rooted their feet and met the other's stare. Drifting flakes of salt and ash sizzled on their blades. In the dark pools of his nephew's eyes, Luke was struck by the sight of his own reflection. An old man, grim and tired and sad.
I failed you, Ben. I'm sorry. I'm sure you are. The Resistance is dead. The war is over. And when I kill you, I'll have killed the last Jedi.
But reflections are just reflections. They need not be reality. Luke looked past his reflection, past those dark eyes, into the Force.
Every word of what you just said was wrong,
he said to Ben.
The Rebellion is reborn today.
The Force showed him a vision of Rey, who stood at the bottom of a crevasse, meditating as he had taught her. Her hand rose, and so did a stack of boulders, loosened from a hole in a mountain.
The war is just beginning,
Luke said. Rey's hand twitched. Her breathing changed. Luke sensed she knew he was there with her. He'd always be there.
And I will not be the last Jedi,
Luke said. Finn watched the boulders levitate from the mouth of the tunnel to reveal Rey, standing on the other side like the last beam of the sunset. She opened her eyes, teetering. The boulders dropped to the ground. Finn ran to her and took her in his arms. He held her tight. She smiled.
Rey.
He had found her again.
Rey.
But when their eyes met, he saw she wasn't the same Rey he had known.
Rey,
Kylo Ren said, snarling her name.
She made her choice. She aligned herself with the old way that has to die. I will destroy her, and you, and all of it. Know that.
He swung, but Skywalker would not cross blades. His former master kept ducking, dipping, evading, eluding. Ren gnashed his teeth, frustrated. But it became clear that Skywalker had to dodge because he could not match Ren's power. Soon he would make a wrong move. And once that happened, Ren would strike him down, just as he had struck down Snoke.
Strike me down in anger, Skywalker said, and I'll always be with you. Just like your father.
He stepped back and deactivated his lightsaber. That was Skywalker. Always trying to lecture. Always trying to impart his nonsense. This lesson would be his last. Ren lunged and swung at his master with all his strength. All his rage. His blade cut nothing but air. He swung again. And yet again his lightsaber slashed straight through Skywalker. His old master shimmered as if he wasn't there, as if he was just a hologram, a phantom, a projection of Kylo Ren's mind. What Jedi trick was this?
See you around, kid,
Skywalker said, then vanished. Ren fumed. He had been goaded by a ghost, and now the trenches were vacant. The Resistance soldiers had fled into the mines.
Skywalker had tried to distract him to give them time to get away. Ren would not let that happen. He called a squad of troopers to his side and stormed through the shattered shield door into the rebel fort. The resistance soldiers weren't in the mines either. The entrance chamber was empty, as was the command center. Ren's hand began to tremble. The stormtroopers hurried away from him. He examined the antiquated command center consoles. He picked up two small objects from the ground. A pair of chance cubes strung together. Ren knew the dice well. They had been Han's, hanging in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. Ren glimpsed the ship through the Force. Rey and Leia were boarding. Both seemed upset by something. Rey turned her head in his direction and glared at him. She was angry at him. She thought he had betrayed the person he should be. But she was wrong. She had betrayed him. The Falcon's ramp rose, and Kylo Ren's communion with her ended. He stood alone in the command center, seething with rage. The dice had disappeared. Just part of Skywalker's trick. This time, Leia didn't interrupt any happy reunions. She joined one herself, entering the Falcon's lounge where most of the Resistance's survivors sat. She gave Chewbacca the biggest hug she could, and the Wookiee in turn gathered up everyone else he could in his arms, squeezing the air out of Poe. Some couldn't partake in the festivities. Rose lay on the medbed, injured but in a restful sleep, and Finn scrounged in the locker underneath it. Of the many things he pulled out was a set of leather-bound tomes. They looked very old, and Leia wondered how they had come onto the Falcon. Han hadn't exactly been a bookworm. Finn found a blanket and draped it over Rose. Leia noticed Rey seemed puzzled by Finn's attention to the other girl. She distracted herself by inspecting two chrome pieces in her hand. Leia walked over with a warm smile. Rey returned it briefly and showed Leia the halves of Luke's lightsaber.
Luke Skywalker is gone.
I felt it, she said, trying to fit the pieces of the hilt together.
But it wasn't sadness or pain. It was peace and purpose.
I felt it too. Leia had sensed Luke's passing, but it hadn't carried the shock of her husband's death or the same weight of grief. Rather, Leia felt that her brother was, as Rey had said, at peace. Rey stopped fiddling with the lightsaber and looked at Leia.
Kylo is stronger than ever. He has an army and an iron grip on the galaxy. How do we build a rebellion from this?
Leia took Rey's hand. We have everything we need. It was true. The heroes around Leia had renewed her faith. With or without her, they would defend all that was good in the galaxy, as she had tried so hard to do herself. Her fight, her life, had not been in vain. Epilogue. Once there was a boy who grew up to become a Jedi Knight. Not just any Jedi, but one of the greatest in their history. A hero, a warrior, a scholar, and a master. This Jedi sat on a ledge atop a lonely mountain. His legs crossed beneath him, his eyes closed, a ring of pebbles hovering around him. His mind was returning from another world, where he had fought a great battle, to reunite with his body that had remained on this world, still and silent. For ordinary beings, the ability to be in two places at once might seem impossible. Yet for a master of the Force, all things were possible. The mind was not limited by the body, nor the body by the mind. The body might even wither and die, while the mind and the spirit survived. This Jedi had not moved since dawn. During that time, the mountain had quaked. A cliff had crumbled. The twin suns had begun to set. The moon had gone on the rise. It had taken all his strength to do what he had done. The salt lines of tears on his face showed the incredible strain. Now that it was done, he could enjoy a few last breaths from the island that had been his home. Luke Skywalker was about to die, but it was something he accepted. Death was the way of all things, even the stars. A pebble from the ring dropped, then another, and another. Some rolled down the side of the mountain. Others rested on the ledge. His body crumpled to lie with them. Petals blown by the wind brushed across his robes. The deep fissures in his face relaxed. The twin suns set over the calm seas. And with the last breath, his body faded from the stone. His mind faded into the Force. And his spirit went to walk the skies. So passed the life of Luke Skywalker. But death would not be the end. His name, his deeds, his legend would live on, reenacted by scrawny stable boys brandishing broomsticks, or dreamed about by restless orphan girls who scavenged their barren homes for scraps of hope. For all things are possible in the Force. This is Jessica Almasi. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, The Last Jedi by Michael Kogi, based on a story by Ryan Johnson. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson, executive producer Nick Martorelli. Star Wars, The Last Jedi is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production Copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. Text Copyright 2018 by Lucasfilm Limited. Production Copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.